You spell it S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S. Hooray for Santa Claus. Cha-cha-cha. It's time for the SaftaCast. I'm your host, Scott C. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, listeners everywhere, to the SaftaCast Holiday Special 2015. Now, last year, we decided to do a special holiday minisode where I looked at depressing holiday songs, and you can find that episode, of course, on the SaftaCast.com website, along with all other back episodes and promos. But this year, we decided to go a little bit different, but not terribly different. What I mean is, this is indeed an episode full of Christmas music and me talking about Christmas music. But our theme this year is a lot different than holiday depression. It is alternate reality Santa Clauses. By that I mean Santa Claus, the myth, the legend, the man himself, and how he gets portrayed in different holiday songs. We're talking about maybe he looks different, maybe he does different things, maybe he engages in things you would not expect Santa to engage in. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment or two. I'll give you the whole rundown, indeed, the rules of the list and beyond. That's coming up for you in just a moment. Before we get there, though, real quick, I just want to talk to you about a couple things. First and foremost, I want to take a moment here before the episode really begins to thank you, the listener, whoever you may be. Maybe this is your first episode with us. Maybe it's your second, your third, your fourth. Maybe you listen to us every week. Every episode, every promo, doesn't matter. I want to take a moment here and thank you for tuning in, for downloading us from the SaftaCast.com website, for listening to us on iTunes or wherever you may listen to podcasts. I don't know, but I thank you for being a part of this program. We've had an amazing year on this show. We've interviewed a whole host of amazing writers, editors, and publishers, and talked to them about very little regarding actual writing, editing, or publishing. And that's the goal of the program, you know. We've also had a great experience back in April with the RandaCast, our experiment of just random interviews with any passersby at the AWP convention. And I'm telling you right now, 2016 is shaping up to be just as excellent, if not more so. We've got some ideas on the back burner that we're working with, and we are looking forward to it. But thank you, again, for being a part of this program, for tuning us in, even if you have no interest in writing, editing, and publishing. We really appreciate you listening to us. Share the link, share the love, share the show with a friend or a stranger or an enemy or a family pet. I don't know. Share it with a warthog. You could do that. Technically, I don't know how the warthog would respond, but you could do it. In theory. But in theory, communism works. That's a Simpsons quote. Anyway, I'm rambling now. Let's start getting into this episode. One more thing I want to bring up before we get truly rolling on here. It's a quick notice. We at the SaftaCast are going on hiatus for a little bit. And by little bit, I mean just a couple of weeks. We're spending a couple weeks off here because the holiday season is busy for everyone. Indeed, so we're taking a week or two off here, but we will be back at the end of December, or maybe early January, let's say, with what has become the now annual SaftaCast Holiday New Year's Message. We'll be bringing that to you, though, probably at the beginning of January as the holiday is happening. We got a slate of episodes loaded for the spring and next summer and next fall. It's going to be a great year in 2016. And I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I want to get right into this episode because there's one thing I love. It's Christmas music. Okay, there's many things I love, but one of them is Christmas music. And even if you hate Christmas music as a rule or as like a part of your lifestyle that you just hate it outright, and I can understand why, we hope you enjoy this episode and get to know a little bit more of Christmas music beyond what you might hear in shopping malls or on terrestrial or even satellite radio at this point. We're going deep on this one, folks, with some deep cuts. Get ready, because it's coming at you right after the theme song. We'll be right back.
Santa suit of red.
Santa wears boots and a suit of red.
And who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
A cap on head, suit that's red. Special night, a beard that's white. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all here's a reindeer pulling on a rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your
stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap.
Close your eyes. No, seriously, close them for a second or two. Are they closed? Good. Wait, wait, if you're piloting a vehicle, open them. Now, please, for the love of Christmas pudding and all that is Christmas, open your eyes and focus. Whew. Sorry about that. Didn't think there. If you're not driving something, close your eyes. Keep them closed, okay? Just for a moment here, okay? Now, if I say the name Santa Claus, what do you see in your mind? What does Santa look like? What does he do for a living? How does he do it? Don't answer. Not just because you can't respond to a recording of me, but because you don't need to. You're probably picturing a fat, white male with a fluffy or wiry, snow-colored beard. Same colored hair. Kind of like Jerry Garcia in a way. Maybe with gold-rimmed glasses. He wears a red coat and pants, a red stocking cap, white gloves, black boots, black belt, gold belt buckle. Lives at the North Pole with a bunch of elves, reindeer, and a Mrs. Claus. And then once a year, he flies around the world, sneaking into people's houses and leaving presents for good children. Okay, you can open your eyes now, if you haven't already. I would think it common knowledge by now that the image of Santa you just conjured, the image all of us are confronted with year after year and store display after store display, is just a combination of Clement Clark Moore's A Visit from St. Nicholas and the Coca-Cola Company. Moore gave us the basic mythology, and the soda commercials perfected his look. But imagine for a moment, what if Santa Claus were different? Not different in name, not Sinterklaas, Grandfather Frost, or Père Noël, but really different. I mean, what if he gave out gifts, but didn't look anything like the world pictures him? Or what if he looked the same, but did different things? What if his origin story involved eviction? What would that look like? Today on the program, I'm going to walk you through 10 alternate reality Santa Clauses, 10 audio texts where Santa is Santa, but not the canonical Santa, the one you pictured in your mind. But before we get started, when I put this episode together, I made some very strict rules about the songs and the Santas I wanted to look at. Rule number one, it had to be the mythical Santa. Not a human impersonator. It couldn't be an I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus or Santa, how come your eyes are green when last year they were blue kind of thing. No. Santa had to be the quote-unquote real one, the one we cherish. Rule number two. It had to be a substantial re-envisioning of Santa, not just a quick story of him doing something surprising, like babysitting a toddler in Barry Richards' Babysitting Santa, or a Christmas Eve miracle story, like a trucker using an 18-wheeler to save Christmas in the Oak Ridge Boys' Peterbilt sleigh. No, the song had to cast all of it in a new light, do something unexpected and fairly original. And lastly, rule number three. It couldn't have been mentioned on last year's episode. So, no The Night Santa Went Crazy by Weird Al Yankovic. This is my list, I make the rules. Okay, enough preface, let's get into it. The SAFTAcast's rundown of 10 alternate reality Santas you should know. Santa number 1. Party Animal. We begin this list with a raucous tune about a wild December night. It's Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Last Night I Went Out with Santa Claus.
I just needed some fix, so last night I went out with Santa Claus. And now me and Santa hit the town last night. We decked the halls and swang all through the night. He said, hey bartender, give me a drink. I said, no more man, cause I can't think. Last night I went out with Santa Claus.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is one of those you know they're there, but you don't know they're there kind of bands. Meaning, in the mid-1990s, they were a major player in the swing revival, alongside the Squirrel Nut Zippers, Cherry Poppin' Daddies, and the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Their name lit up marquees. Songs like You and Me and The Bottle Makes Three Tonight, Baby dominated the charts, and they even got to play the halftime at Super Bowl 33. Then the swing revival died off and the band disappeared. Except they didn't. They still tour regularly, perform with orchestra pops programs, and show up on soundtrack albums. And they're still making music, including holiday songs. 2013 saw their third holiday release, It Feels Like Christmas Time. Unfortunately, the track listing of that disc reads like a standard fare Greatest Hits of the Holidays compilation. Almost every song is a quote-unquote classic. I'm sorry, but neo-swing or not, what can really be added to Frosty the Snowman at this point that hasn't already been done? But I digress and complain. Their previous holiday disc, Everything You Want for Christmas, is a different matter. That album is littered with unexpected songs, and smack in the middle of it all is this one. Last Night is a song with a Santa you want to daydream about. You want to be in the world of that song. You want to be the singer trying to remember every moment of the night before. Let me explain. It's not the story that the song tells. That's pretty simple and straightforward. Santa comes to town, takes the singer out for a night of fun. It's the details. This Santa Claus is the perfect person to go bar hopping with. He insists on going to all the hottest, wildest places, drinking everything on the menu, ordering lots of greasy, cardiac-arresting food, starting trouble, you name it, Santa wants in on the action. Picture this, if you will. Santa contacts you one afternoon and just says, hey, I'm going to be stopping by your town tonight, let's hang. You're on the fence, but ultimately you agree because, I mean, come on, who's going to turn Santa Claus down? So he shows up at your place, sled and all, and like a fairy godmother, hands you a set of the best clothes you have ever seen and which fit you impeccably, and then takes you out on a pub crawl. He pays for every drink, laughs off every worried protest of, no, I can't handle another rum and coke, protects you from drunk, creepy jerks, praises your dancing and karaoke skills no matter what they are, introduces you to a fine potential partner, and just raises all kind of holy and unholy merriment. And the next morning, you wake up, still in your awesome clothes, with blurred vision, a slight headache, a mouth tasting like a combination of peppermints and menthol cigarettes, and instead of asking, what did I do last night, the only question is, when do we do that again? Forget wanting Christmas every day. I want one night out with this Santa Claus.
Santa number 2, World's Best Lover.
On It Feels Like Christmas Time, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy also covers Calypso artist Lord Nelson's 1963 song, A Party for Santa. I bring that up because just a few months before, in 1962, hotelier and former model Kay Martin, along with her bodyguards Jess Hotchkiss and Bill Elliott, released the album I Know What He Wants for Christmas, But I Don't Know How to Wrap It. I'm not surprised if you've never heard of Kay Martin and her bodyguards. That's two words, by the way. There's not much out there in way of a biography, with most information coming directly from the backs of their three vinyl releases. What is known is that at some point in the mid to late 50s, Kay Martin formed and fronted a comedy song trio, and they worked the nightclub circuits of Vegas and Reno until the early to mid 60s. All of their releases are, essentially, recordings of their act, a combination of lounge standards and onstage antics that represent the time period's most popular late-night comedy styles. Risque jokes, double entendres, and an unhealthy amount of ethnic, sexist, and homophobic punchlines. Hey, I'm just telling you how it was back then. But, if I can be honest, despite some now really cringeworthy jokes on side two, I Know What He Wants is kind of a fascinating album.
It's a look back into a bygone era when people bought records to play at parties after the kids had gone to bed. Side one is full of burlesque comedy that's both juvenile and kind of clever in places. For example, the title track is highly suggestive of something, but pulls a switcheroo on the last line, and you walk away realizing that any sex you heard in the song, you put there yourself. I don't want to spoil it for you. Seriously, it's worth it. For this list, though, I want to zero in on two tracks. Santa's Going to Be Late This Year, and Come On Santa, Let's Have a Ball.
So if Santa didn't make it to your house, there's a very special reason, you see. He stopped at my house, on the way to your house, and spent the whole night with me.
Please don't stop coming round. It's finally Christmas Eve, and you have come to call. I bought a brand new nighty, but I'm waiting in my hall.
If you didn't pick up on any double meanings in those tracks, don't panic. They're a bit straightforward. But they're also a representation of a Santa that we don't really think about or see much of anymore. The world's greatest lover. Seriously. For you youngins out there, there was a time when Santa was portrayed as a benevolent toy maker to children, but was also the pinnacle of physical romance for adults. Look through any Playboy December issue from that era and you'll see and read multiple cartoons and one-liner jokes about Santa either seducing or being seduced by a conventionally attractive woman. It was a standard comedy trope at the time, one which Kay Martin plays off of in these songs. A young woman waits for Santa on Christmas Eve, and then offers up her body in exchange for either a really swell gift, or just the pride of saying she's done the horizontal twist with the man himself. You know, when I say it out loud like that, the joke really feels out of date. I mean, it's problematic on a whole lot of levels, and it's a good thing that the culture has moved away from speculating on the sexual side of Santa. But I still think the title track is worth the listen.
Number 3, Disco Supremo.
The shift away from Santa's sensual Christmas Eve activities happens sometime in the early to mid-70s, in tandem with a changing nightlife scene. Burlesque humor, double bourbons, lounge standards, all of these things became passé. Lenny Bruce replaced burlesque, cocaine replaced cocktails, and disco replaced Dino. And wherever the culture goes, Santa has to follow. Hula hoops, to microchips, to disco dancing. I mean, the guy's gotta stay relevant, you know?
Learn how to do the hustle.
Shoo, boy, you can hustle.
Santa.
What now?
Hey, I can't boogie neither.
Shame on you, boy. Hey, Rudolph, you want to know something?
Yeah?
I can dance myself. But let's try working out in these new platform boots.
Disco Christmas, we're gonna hustle on a tree. On Disco Christmas, we're gonna get chill.
Or at least, try to stay relevant. If that clip is any indication, Santa did not fare well in the Studio 54 scene. In this track, he and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer reveal they are sick of the annual routine, and neither one of them can do the hottest, newest dances. To put it another way, they're in a rut, and spend most of their time in the song lashing out at each other like two people who are trapped in a supermarket checkout line on Thanksgiving Day. Rudolph demands a raise, calls his boss a jive turkey, and threatens to, quote, tell all the kids about how mean you are, end quote. In return, Santa attacks Rudolph for not being able to dance, for refusing to obey orders and guide the sleigh, and for just, well, being a jackass about everything. Which is kind of a weird thing for me to say, considering Rudolph's a reindeer and not, you know what, never mind. Everything turns out okay by the end of the song. They bury their hatchets because Rudolph knows where there are some fine young ladies for them, and despite the fact that Rudolph proves deer have no depth perception by high-fiving Santa in his eyeball, everything turns out all right. In all seriousness, what you just heard was a little bit of the Universal Robot Band's Disco Christmas, which is a weird little song/skit recorded by a largely forgotten 70s studio group who had a minor hit in 1976 with the song Dance and Shake Your Tambourine. I say this track is weird because, despite its title, and if you count the comedic dialogue and exchange between Santa and Rudolph, the song is only disco in its backbeat and chorus. In other words, there's very little Disco Christmas in Disco Christmas. It's not like Santa is wearing a red polyester jumpsuit or something, you know? Rudolph's nose is not red from blow, and although they imply it's their destination, they don't actually go to a club to see if the deer does indeed know of some fine young ladies. Ultimately, this track just comes off as a song being aimed at children and capitalizing on a fad. Yet it still belongs on this list of alternative Santas, and here's why. First off, like Father Guido Sarducci's Santa's Lament, it shows a side of the big guy that we don't often think about. He's too often portrayed as being extremely upbeat about his job. Surely, after a few centuries, he's got to be bored and burnt out with doing the same thing for 2 months every year. I mean, the wishes, the toys, the treats may change, but every December, it's still the North Pole, 8 or 9 reindeer, a sleigh, and a long, long night. But Disco Christmas is important for another reason. It's one of a very few Christmas tracks that portrays Santa as anything other than Caucasian. Here, like in Akim's Santa Claus is a Black Man, Santa is African American. And this is something I feel is missing from a lot of Christmas songs, movies, and television specials. If the idea of Santa is that of a global entity, a personification of generosity, love, wonder, imagination, and compassion, a being that is not bound by geographic borders but is an embodiment of the best aspects of all humankind, why can't that come through more in the culture?
Santa number 4, Hippie.
Okay, remember at the top of the show when I asked you to close your eyes and picture Santa? No, you don't have to do it again. I just wanted you to remember doing it. Okay? Now, when you did that, if I were to have asked one additional question, where did Santa come from? I suspect the answers would vary a lot more than anything about his fashion sense or job description. About the only thing I could see most people saying would be the North Pole. But I mean, before that. Where did he live? Was he human at any point? Was he maybe a carpenter, a blacksmith, a creepy dude living in a smelly attic? Did the real St. Nicholas not die but immigrate to a land of ice and snow, a land of the midnight sun where the hot springs blow? I honestly have no idea, but I suspect that part of the universal appeal of Mr. Claus is that there is no everyone agrees this is the canonical backstory. We're free to give him any legends that we want, to let the pre-Santa stories unfold in the most amazing ways. In pop culture, Santa's origin story is usually left unsaid. It does come up once in a while, though. There's the maligned 1985 Dudley Moore film Santa Claus the Movie, of course, and technically Disney's The Santa Claus and Bill Corbett and Len Peralta's Superpowered Revenge Christmas graphic novel count as well. As does our next track on the countdown, a favorite of alt-rock radio stations for years now, Cheech and Chong's Santa Claus and His Old Lady.
Santa Claus, you know, and he used to live over in the projects with his old lady, and they had a pretty good thing together because his old lady was really fine, and she could cook and all that stuff like that, you know, like she made the best brownies in town, man. Oh, I could remember them now, man. I could eat one of them, man. Wow,
did you know these people, man?
Oh, yeah, man, they used to live next door to me, you know, until they got kicked out, man.
Oh, they got kicked out of the projects, man?
Yeah, you know what happened?
I'm just gonna put this out here. This track is one of my Christmas music essentials because there's a lot to love in it. For one thing, there's the two stories that are going on. Tommy Chong's lack of knowledge about Santa, explained only by, quote, "Well, I'm from Pittsburgh, man, and I don't know too many local dudes," end quote. And there's Cheech Marin's narrative. The way Cheech tells it, he once lived next door to Mr. and Mrs. Claus until they got kicked out of their apartment building for living with a group of singing, hammering, and woodworking elves. Evicted, they then moved up north together and started the Santa Claus and His Old Lady commune, whereupon Santa becomes the jolly guy we know so well, delivering toys and goodies once a year. At least until the 20th century catches up with a bearded guy who's crossing international borders with a giant sack on his back. But the other thing I love about this track is its sincerity. Cheech and Chong play their parts and read their lines without a hint of being subversive or ironic. There's no wink to the camera or sarcastic delivery into the microphone in this piece. Cheech gives off a genuine-sounding confusion and concern about his friend's ignorance, and Chong displays a childlike sense of wonder at the story, along with a mix of sadness and joy when it concludes. Oh sure, the duo plays to their pop culture identities, inserting a couple of drug references into the details, but unlike some of their other bits, such as Dave, those really aren't the focus of Santa Claus and His Old Lady. And technically speaking, neither is the origin story itself. Ultimately, this is a comedy routine about belief, about how we felt towards Santa as a child, and about hope that even when humans interfere with the big guy's duties, he doesn't give up on us, or on his sacred mission to visit us every December.
Santa number 5, Morality Lacking Robot.
Jonathan Colton, or Joko to his fans, has had an unconventional road to stardom. He began as a computer programmer by day and singer-songwriter by night, contributing quirky lyrics and sci-fi-laced musical numbers to Popular Science and other similar outlets. In 2005, however, he began an ambitious project of releasing one song a week, every week, for one calendar year. The Thing a Week series, combined with his feverish use of the Creative Commons license, quickly put him on the internet's radar. But it was his contribution of Still Alive to the Portal video game soundtrack that cemented his place at the forefront of the still-emerging in 2015 geek music subgenre. But back to a decade ago and the Thing a Week project. 21 weeks into it, in February 2006, Colton released one of his first holiday tracks, Chiron Beta Prime. Like much of his discography, the narrative is at once clever, amusing, and unexpected. I mean, this is a guy who's written about someone in a French bar trying to convince everyone that he's actor-musician Rick Springfield, as well as musical odes to IKEA and mathematician Benoit Mandelbrot. Chiron Beta Prime fits right in with Colton's style. Written as an annual family Christmas letter, the track paints an ever-darkening portrait of a fictional clan called the Andersons, prisoners desperate to escape their fate on a lonely asteroid. And because it's Christmas time, Santa makes an appearance.
On every corner there's a giant metal Santa Claus who watches over us with glowing red eyes. They carry weapons and they know if you've been bad or good. Not everybody's good, but everyone tries. And the rocks outside the airlock exude ammonia-scented snow. It's like a winter wonderland. Merry Christmas.
Ah, robotic Santas. Now, I can't say for certain, but I wouldn't be surprised to learn Joko was influenced by John Goodman's robot Santa Claus on Futurama. You know, the robot that lives on Neptune and has such high standards of morality he judges everyone on Earth as naughty, and then tries to kill them with an arsenal of Christmas punny weapons. Ah. Regardless of influence, though, there's something both threatening and charming about the robot Santas in this song. Okay, yes, they are ominous, with their glowing red eyes and programmed moral compasses, but when the guards in your prison are wearing red stocking caps and walking around blasting a repetitive monotone ho, 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 I don't know, that just takes the edge off the menace for me. It moves into almost a surreal, goofy territory. Before moving on to our next song, a quick note. The robot Santas in the song may not actually be there. You see, almost 3 years after the track was released, a Joko web forum user named Frumpy Jones realized he possessed an alternate version. Everything about the track was the same, except the third verse cuts out the robot Santas and replaces them with a decorative crucified Claus. Allegedly, Colton later explained that that version was the first draft, written for a friend's company's audio Christmas card. But the friend didn't care for the verse, so Colton retooled it. And I think made it better. I dig the robot Santas.
Number 6, Ass Kicker.
To be fair, the Santas in Chiron Beta Prime don't do all that much. The robots are just there. However, in our next song, by Canadian novelty music trio The Arrogant Worms, Santa does exactly what the title says he's going to do.
Santa's coming and he's gonna kick your ass. He's gonna kick your ass. He's gonna kick your ass. Santa's coming and he's gonna kick your ass. Cause you've always been a rotten little brat.
reindeer coming, and they're gonna bite your ear. They're gonna chew your welcome mat, swallow your kitty cat. Reindeer coming, and they're gonna eat your begonias, 'cause Santa hasn't fed them in a month.
The image of Santa as an alcoholic, or filthy, or violent, or all three of those things, is in a lot of Christmas comedies. It's not unfamiliar territory. But in the aptly titled Santa's Gonna Kick Your Ass, there's a slight difference. Sure, Santa's drunk, he smells funny, he's violent, and he has a bad attitude about things. He's a dangerous mega-jerk, but he's a jerk we can pity. You see, according to the song, it's been a crappy year for Santa Claus. His wife's run off with a chiropractor, and the workshop's been audited. Combined with everything else that normally goes on at the North Pole, Santa has let both himself and his dominion go to So he's taking out his problems on everyone, beginning with the ones closest by. According to the song, the reindeer haven't been fed in over a month, so they're cranky and they're cheesed off. And if you think about it, who feeds the reindeer according to the mythology? If not Santa Claus, then it has to be the elves. But they don't care, because with the workshop closed, they're bored and probably hitting the sauce like their employer. I mean, come on, it's the North Pole. What else is there to do up there for an elf who's not allowed to make toys? Be a dentist? But despite all of that, the children of the world are still counting on all of them to deliver gifts. Santa has to come to town. So the only answer they can come up with is to say, screw it, and load up the sleigh. Only because of how things have been, there will be no bike for Billy, no doll for Jane, no dress or sewing game for Mary, no toy plane or a cowboy gun for Johnny. Oh no. Instead, Santa's bringing the whole crew along this year, and they're going to kick Billy's ass, wreck Jane's TV, burn down Mary's Christmas tree, and eat Johnny's parents' welcome mat. Santa is ticked off. The reindeer are ticked off. The elves are ticked off. Everyone is ticked off, and on December 26th, the stores will be filled with shoppers not queuing up at the megastore's customer service counter to return crappy gifts they don't want, but silently walking up and down the aisles buying over-the-counter pain relievers, bandages, bags of ice, fire extinguishers, and new welcome mats before driving home with a throw pillow under their butts in the driver's seat of their car to file insurance claims over the smoke and water damage to their home, lost items, and the untimely deaths of their family pets. Sorry, got kind of warmed up there. The point is, this is not the titular Bad Santa of Bad Santa. In the Arrogant Worm song, this is not an impersonator like in the movies. This is the real guy, and it has not been a good year for him. So, this year, if Santa drops by your house and leaves you a little bit worse for wear, my advice? Go easy on him. Don't hold a grudge. Just maybe do him a solid. Don't be so much of a spoiled brat next year, okay?
Santa number 7, the spirit of vengeance.
Now, before you call me out on this, I'm going to say right up front here that I am technically not breaking my rule number 3 from the start of the program. Yes, our next song is from an artist on last year's playlist, but it's not the same song. Remember, this is my list, my rules. I can bend them as I sees fit. Anyway, our number 7 Santa comes to us via The Killers with their 2007 Christmas release, Don't Shoot Me, Santa.
Oh, Santa, I've been killing just for fun. Well, the party's over, kid, because I got a bullet in my gun.
A bullet in your what?
Don't shoot me, Santa Claus, I've been a queen.
As I believe I mentioned last year, each December since 2006, Las Vegas-based alt-rock group The Killers has put out a charitable single for Product Red, which supports the global fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria. If I can be honest with you, in terms of awesome Christmas songs, they're kind of hit and miss, really. Some are really enjoyable and stand up to repeated listens, and others just fall by the wayside. Don't Shoot Me, Santa is in the former category. However, both the title and the music video can be a bit misleading. The title implies that Santa is on a violent rampage, and the song must be about someone pleading with him to be spared his Yuletide wrath. And the video tells a similar narrative. The group's lead singer, Brandon Flowers, is seen in the middle of a Nevada desert, tied to a chair with red and green silver garland, struggling to break free as a filthy, crazed Mr. Claus torments him with puppets. I'm not kidding, it's actual sock puppets. Eventually, though, Flowers' bandmates sneak their friend away while Santa is distracted digging Flowers' grave in the middle of the desert. But here's the thing. The actual lyrics indicate Santa is probably the good guy in all of this, and it's the singer who's the evil one. In other words, Santa is not on a violent rampage, but delivering justice, using a bullet in a gun instead of coal in a stocking. Let me explain. While a couple of lines kind of hint that the singer is maybe acting as a minion for Santa, the line, "I did everything you asked me to," much more of the song deals with the singer confessing to some kind of revenge on his neighborhood bullies. I quote, "The children on the block, they tease me. I couldn't let them off that easy. I couldn't turn my cheek no longer." When you bring in those lines, the singer is indeed pleading with Santa, but in that "please listen to me, I can explain" movie supervillain kind of way. And for his part, Santa doesn't like it that things have come to this, even saying, "Believe me, this ain't what I wanted. I love all you kids, you know that." Like I said earlier, the image of a violent Santa wielding weapons of both mass and personal destruction is not new. In just the last few minutes, I've brought up robot ones and ass-kicking ones. But this Santa, he's not the same as either of those two. Nor is he the drunken, genocidal, sociopathic one of Weird Al Yankovic's The Night Santa Went Crazy. This Santa is using violence only because he has to. The world is different from when he started out. The definition of naughty has changed with the times. To put it another way, when you look at this song, Santa is not just an annual gift-giving man who rewards nice children with toys and punishes wicked ones with anthracite. Because of things how they are now, he has to become an avenger of sorts. And it breaks his heart that his tools are now lead and steel.
Santa number 8, Harbinger of Death.
Most of the songs on this list are actual songs in that they contain both music and sung lyrics, but at least two of them straddle the line between song and spoken word. The first was Cheech and Chong's Santa Claus and His Old Lady, and the second, this one, is a sermon from the Reverend J.M. Gates, one of a number of high-profile singing preachers in the early days of vinyl records. For a little over 30 years, Gates was pastor at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and during that time frequently recorded his sermons so that they could be distributed to a wider audience. At the time, Gates was a bit of a celebrity in Atlanta. I've read that his funeral was a pretty big deal in the city, drawing a crowd that would rival that of Martin Luther King Jr. decades later. However, outside of the greater Atlanta area, Gates' visibility fell away as records moved into the rock and roll era. While he still popped up on some compilations, like the six-disc 1952 box set An Anthology of American Folk Music, the mainstream seemed to forget about Gates and his contemporaries like the guitarist and evangelist Reverend Edward W. Clayton. But, as happened with a lot of artists in the digital age, Gates' vinyl recordings were transferred and made into MP3s. Now his sermons are not that hard to find, even showing up as background vocals in Paul Simon's Getting Ready for Christmas Day, released back in 2011. Maybe it's unfair to say that Gates disappeared completely for 50 or 60 years. Obviously, someone out there knew of him. I mean, how else can I explain that two 70s groups, Secondhand and Mott the Hoople, both had song titles that bear a striking similarity to this song, our number 8 track on the list, Death Might Be Your Santa Claus.
And the little boys telling mother and father, tell the old Santa to bring me a little pistol.
All right.
That same little gun may be death in that boy's home.
Yes, sir.
And death may be his Santa Claus.
Yes, sir.
And that little old girl is saying to mother and the father, tell the old Santa Claus to bring me a little deck of cards that I may play a final.
I admit the recording may be hard to hear or hard to listen to. Blame age and outdated recording technology for that. The gist of the sermon is that the things that we wish for and/or the way we celebrate at Christmas time may lead to our death. For example, a little boy who asks Santa for a pistol may meet or may cause an untimely death. A little girl who asks for a deck of playing cards may then learn to gamble and, by consequence, go out to seedy places, which may in turn lead to her death. A road trip in a car to visit someone or some place for the holiday may lead to death. Hosting an all-night holiday party may lead to death. On second thought, maybe then I was a little bit hasty in naming this part of the list the harbinger of death. Because if you listen to the full piece, the full recording, Santa doesn't really presage death in the sermon. He doesn't even really bring it. Or does he? If someone dies as a result of a Christmas gift, whenever that death takes place, I guess maybe the argument can be made that Santa's gift is directly responsible for it, but does that make Santa culpable? I mean, a counter-argument could be made that it's the recipient, not the gift or the giver, that's responsible for death. But would the recipient even have the gift if not for the giver? These are questions and issues better discussed and debated by clergy members, theologians, lawyers, and politicians. I'm just a former radio DJ who likes to prattle on about Christmas music. Speaking of which...
Santa, number 9. Completely insane, possibly a mutant.
I know what you're gonna say, and I agree with you. The past few songs have tread into some very dark territory. So, let's lighten the mood with a song from Nikki and the Project entitled Santa Was Eating the Christmas Tree.
The whole plate of cookies you haven't touched. What's wrong with you, Santa? Have you gone nuts?
Santa was eating the Christmas tree, the Christmas tree, the Christmas tree. Santa was eating the Christmas tree. He's crazy as can be.
There's very little information out there on Nikki and the Project, aside from their featured appearance on the Dysfunctional Family Band's 2000 release, A Dysfunctional Family Christmas. Frankly, it's not even clear if Nikki and the Project are a band at all, or if, pardon the pun, they're an offspring of the DFB themselves. This is a shame, because Santa Was Eating the Christmas Tree is actually a good song. Okay, sure, it can push some listeners away with its use of a child singer and toy instruments, including a toy piano and a slide whistle, but the titular hook is catchy, and the singer playing the role of Santa takes to the part with enthusiasm. The song's true appeal, though, is in its narrative. Dig this. A little girl walks downstairs to discover that, well, Santa has lost his mind. Instead of going for the traditional cookies and milk that's been left out for him, the man is chewing down on the family evergreen. Naturally, the girl is confused, maybe even a little bit terrified, to see the jolly one turning around in surprise with a bit of branch sticking out of his mouth like the pipe in Moore's A Visit from St. Nicholas. She asks what Santa is doing, and this is where the song starts to get really interesting. In Santa's words, Rudolph's nose burnt out and the sled flew too close to a nuclear plant. Santa was exposed to X-rays and is now completely insane. That's a pretty silly explanation when you think about it too deeply. And of course, I have. Now, I don't know too much about the ins and outs nor science of a nuclear plant, but are X-rays really prevalent in them? And if so, do they ever leak out that much? Furthermore, what about all the employees of the facility? Are they going to suddenly start craving conifers at mealtime like Santa? Then there's the question of X-ray exposure. How much exposure can someone, human or superhuman, absorb before seeing any negative side effects? And what would those negatives really be? I mean, nothing else really seems wrong with Santa in this song. He's just obsessed with eating trees. All of these are questions that, were they in a movie or Christmas television special, would be sidestepped and explained away by, it was all a dream. And actually, that's how they're dealt with in this song, too. Kind of. Yes, it was all a dream, but hold on, this song is less like a holiday novelty song and more like the movie Inception. See, at the end of the song, the girl wakes from her nightmare of the tree being digested and runs down the stairs to find everything perfectly fine and intact, including a big present wrapped up that has her name on it. And that present is what makes her realize that she's still dreaming. What we're left with is the insinuation that the little girl here in the song is not going to be having a very good Christmas, and her brain is distracting her from that reality by creating a second dream where Santa is a pinecone-crunching sarlacc. I guess that's to be expected when you're dealing with an album called A Dysfunctional Family Christmas, and I guess you could make the argument that this song could have appeared on our holiday depression list last year on the show, but I don't know, there's something about the idea of Santa being comically insane and possibly a mutant that makes me feel like it's a better fit for this list.
And Santa number 10. Everyone.
Our final song on the list comes to us from perhaps an unexpected source, the forums at somethingawful.com. Every year since 2009, the forum members, called Goons, have put their talents into making Christmas music compilations. Now, the majority of the tracks they put out are deliberate efforts at being awful, attempts at making music that's painful or difficult to sit through. I'm not necessarily talking about offensive lyrics, more like avant-garde slash outsider music. But in amongst the dozens of submissions that make it onto their annual playlist, every year there are some standouts, because they're well-produced, just plain funny, or they're genuinely good Christmas songs up there with any of the holiday standards you hear on radio, television, or in stores. Such is the case with our final track, Everyone Can Be Santa, by Sean Lomax.
One can be Santa any time of year. Everyone can be Santa, even without those flying reindeer.
I'm not going to spend much time, if any, talking about the lyrics or the narrative or any hidden meanings that you can discover or decode in this song, because they're not there. What the song wants you to take away from it is stated plainly. Everyone can be Santa Claus, any time of the year. For the past whole lot of minutes, I've told you about a whole bunch of different Santas. From club-hopping Santa, to sexy Santa, to mean, to robotic, to hippie, to, well, you can just rewind this episode in case you lost track. All of these Santas, though, all of them, including the traditional Santa that we began today's show with, they're all fictitious. Each one as real as any other. Take your pick which one you want to envision the next time you close your eyes. But are they really fictitious? I could pull a Virginia right here and just say that, yes indeed, there is a Santa Claus. Talk of how there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man could ever tear apart. Or how faith, fancy, poetry, love, and romance can push aside that curtain to view the supernal beauty and glory beyond. I could do that, but it would be so cliché. Instead, I'll say that Santa is real in the sense that he's not real. Meaning, we can't collect empirical data on Santa's travels, activities, or even existence. And beyond that, as we've seen on just this show, we as a people struggle to assign Santa any particular look or style, or even agree on what adventures he has on the night of December 24th. Even things that some people might say are canonical about Santa are free to be reinterpreted as needed. We can add and subtract reindeer, or change Santa's delivery transport to a rocket sled, for example. In all these ways, then, Santa is not real. But Santa is real, if only because Santa is a symbol of real things. Santa is a singular embodiment of the innate gifts our species possesses, which have allowed us to thrive for thousands of years. Selfless generosity, compassion for children, unity, respect for one another, the desires to smile, feel good, and forget our cares for even just a little bit. Santa's house at the North Pole is portrayed as a home, a victory against the elements of a harsh natural landscape, warm, inviting, and full of people worth caring about. Santa's annual ride makes us look up at the night sky, to imagine, to wonder, to dream. We can look to Santa as a model of what we are capable of. And to that end, everyone can be Santa. Everyone.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
So that's gonna do it. That's our holiday special 2015 here on the SaftaCast. Whole bunch of alternate reality Santas for ya. Which one was your favorite? Was it Sexy Santa? Robot Santa? Hippie Santa? Ass-kicking Santa? Death Santa? Mutant Santa? I don't know. Drop us a line on our Facebook page, or comment on Twitter. Tell us, who did you like the most? Which one do you see when you close your eyes at night and dream of sugar plum fairies? And what is a sugar plum fairy? Now that I think of it, like, all the fairies I've ever seen in literature or in pop culture, they're never sugar plums. And are they fairies made out of sugar plums? Or do sugar plums have their own fairy mythology? What is a sugar plum even? Is it just a plum covered in sugar? I have no idea. There are many questions I have at the holiday season. As I get older, there's just more questions arising. Maybe you have questions too, I don't know. Anyway, we thank you though here at the SaftaCast for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed our holiday special this year. And what should we do next year? I don't know. I've got some ideas. Already starting to formulate, what are we going to do next December? I'm already starting to think that far ahead, but I'm also thinking about what's coming up soon on the program. We're going to kind of go on a little hiatus here for the next week and a half or so, thereabouts. We got our own holiday celebrations to enjoy, just as you do, or maybe you don't. I hope you do, whatever you do. But we'll be back at the end of the month, or the beginning of next month, with the now annual SaftaCast New Year's message, and we aim to record it again like we did last year at the Sundress Academy with some of the fine folks at the Sundress Academy and Sundress Publications up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hope you have a great holiday season, regardless what you celebrate, when you celebrate it, how you celebrate it. I hope, you know, this is released just after Hanukkah. I hope your Hanukkah was joyous, was blessed. We're coming up on the Christmas day. I hope those of you who celebrate Christmas enjoy it, have a grand time. And those of you with December birthdays like me who are Sagittarius or Capricorn, or you straddle the line between the two like I do, kind of, sort of, maybe if you believe in that astrology kind of stuff, you know, whatever. Hope you have a great birthday. Hope you enjoy the New Year's. Hope you have a great Tet, a solstice, a Yule, whatever it is that you celebrate at this time of the year. I hope you have a good one. You enjoy it to the fullest and to the maximum. And don't you worry about us. We'll be back in January, as I said, with our SaftaCast New Year's message. Oh, before I go, real quick, a big thank you. One more big thank you to all of you who listen to this program, be it this is your first time, your second time, your third time, or you're a repeat listener, you tune in every single week. We thank you for listening into this program, for all the downloads, for all the visits to our site at SaftaCast.com, for joining us on Twitter, for joining us on Facebook, and much, much more. We thank you so much. We cannot possibly thank you enough on this program, and we hope you continue to enjoy it for many months to come as we go into 2016. Thank you so much, and if you want to show your love for us, a great Christmas gift to us at the SaftaCast would be to drop us a review and a rating on iTunes. Take you a couple minutes, but it would mean a world to us. That's going to do it for me. I'm rambling now. Let's just go right out of here with by saying, I'm Scott Say, and I'll end this by saying the cheesiest thing I can think of. I'll see you next year. Wait, this is an audio recording. I can't possibly see you next year unless I know you in person and I get to actually physically see you or something. I mean, you can hear me. I can talk to you next year, but you can't necessarily see me next year. I get it, unless you know me.